Hello, this is David Coulthard.
Hi, I'm Mark Webber here.
Great drive, Mark. Fantastic. We've won the constructors. Thank you. Well done.
Hi, this is Sebastian Vettel.
You're the world champion. You're the triple world champion, Sebastian Vettel. You are the man. You're a triple world champion.
Can I do donut?
Donuts will not be required, thank you.
Take that as a yes, then.
Hello and welcome to the Infinity Red Bull Racing Podcast. It's back to Europe for round 5 of the 2013 season. Spain, a country infatuated with the bull, we find here at the Circuit de Catalunya, one of the most vibrant, passionate and exciting cities on the F1 calendar. Barcelona has its all reputation for sporting excellence, incredible history, architecture, the wonderful Catalan people and non-stop nightlife, being bathed in the Spanish sun and situated bang on the beautiful Mediterranean coastline. It's no wonder travel agents don't even have to try selling city breaks here. It's a demanding circuit, both physically and mechanically, and strong and erratic crosswinds can make setup a slightly less forward task. The long main straight helps overtaking possibilities going into turn one, and in 2007 a chicane was introduced at the end of the straight to encourage overtaking. Coming up on the podcast, we speak to both our drivers about their races. We chat with podcast regulars Christian Horner and David Coulthard. We catch up with windsurfing world champion Bjorn Dunkerbeck, and we get Sebastian Vettel and his race engineer Rocky to swap jobs. First, let's get more about this track here in Barcelona. Laura asked our reserve driver, Sebastian Buemi, to take us on a lap here earlier this weekend.
Okay, so Sebastian, it's good to have you back. Take us on a lap of the Circuit de Catalunya.
Yes, so Catalunya is a circuit that we all know very well. We test here every time in the winter, and we have the race always here. So the straight is very long. It's one of the longest straights, so it gives you good opportunities to overtake. Then you have a first sector, which is quite tricky and quite quick. Corner three, which is flat out. One and two, you go down to third gear. So after that, it's all flat. And then you enter into sector two, which is already a sector with more corners that you have to have a good feel and a lot of downforce on the car. Corner five, very tricky. You have always a lot of front wheel locking. And after that, you go back up into corner seven and eight, which is an uphill. Then on corner nine, it's a flat out corner nearly in qualifying, and after that we've got a long straight going down to corner 10. Again, good opportunities to overtake there. We've got a DRS zone during the weekend, and then the last sector, it's impossible to overtake there. It's very tricky, very slow, a lot of slow speed corners, corner 10, 11 and 12 in between first gear and third gear, and then you've got the last chicane, which is corner 14 and 15. Again, second gear, very important there to have a good exit if you want to have any chance to pass someone on the straight.
And you've looked very busy every time we've seen you in the paddock this weekend. Tell us what your commitments have been here.
Basically, I came first to Barcelona on a Wednesday, and I had an event with Infinity, our main sponsor, and then I went back to the UK for 2 days in a simulator on a Thursday and a Friday. That was quite tough because we had a lot of things to test for the weekend. And then on a Saturday morning, I flew back to Barcelona, and yeah, since yesterday I'm here. You know, dealing with meetings, engineers meetings, TV and marketing events.
Okay. And we've seen you in a simulator here as well. Tell us about that.
Yeah, that was a simulator for the fans. Quite like it because it gives you a good feeling of, you know, what F1 is like. Yeah, obviously it's still far from reality, but I think it's great for the fans. They can see and feel how Formula 1 driver might feel.
And I've been having a little look at your Twitter feed recently, and you posted an Instagram picture from your Sebastian Buemi account that had the hashtag stay flat. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, because I had a race in Spa-Francorchamps, and as everyone knows, we've got Eau Rouge, or let's say we call it the Redillon, a very quick corner, and it's always very difficult to stay flat in that corner, especially with the car I drove there, which is a prototype car, a big heavy car comparing to Formula 1. one, but I managed to do it flat. So you know, objective was to stay flat as many laps as possible.
Well, people can see that for themselves if they go to @Sebastian_Boemi. Is that right?
Exactly. Yeah.
And we also saw on there an F1 pizza. Who made you that?
I had a friend of mine who had the opening of his pizza restaurant in Switzerland. So I went there and we had a little event, you know, to launch this restaurant. It was new, and I made a pizza in less than a minute, so it was quite funny.
Is that something we can task you with doing for us for Monaco, maybe?
I think, you know, it's not easy. I had a good help with the cook. He helped me well, but yeah, why not?
We'll hold you to that. Last question. This weekend, we've been running the hashtag job swap on Twitter. So we've been asking people if they could swap jobs with anyone, who would it be and why? So we want to put that question to you and ask who you would swap with and why.
I think that's a really tough question, but I really like watching tennis, and Roger Federer, who is a Swiss player, and you know, if I had the capability, I would love to swap job with him.
Thank you.
A bit later in the podcast, we get Seb to swap places with his race engineer, Rocky. Make sure you listen. It's good. On to the race now, and Sebastian and Mark came fourth and fifth, respectively, in this afternoon's Spanish Grand Prix. The race was won by Ferrari's Fernando Alonso, who was followed over the line by Kimi Raikkonen and Felipe Massa in P3. Finishing behind Seb and Mark were Nico Rosberg in P6, Paul de Resta, Jenson Button and Sergio Perez in P9, with Daniel Ricciardo taking a point for Toro Rosso, coming home in 10th. Here are Sebastian and Mark after the race.
We still finished fourth and got some good points. Surely we wanted more, but I think today we just didn't have the tires to fight with the guys in front. I think start was good in the beginning of the race, didn't look too bad, but then I think we tried to hold on to the three stop probably a little bit too much, and had to admit towards the end that we will make it. So I think after all, we can be happy with fourth, but surely there's a little bit more, not pace, but there's a little bit more we need to do looking after the tyres.
Pretty obvious 25 laps into the race that looked like we were struggling for the range and a bit of pace, to be honest. So Ferraris and Renaults were in a bit of a different league by a bit, and that made it hard for us to compete today. So I think I got the most out of what we had, particularly I think in the first sector or the first corner I was probably 14th or 15th, so actually happy with my drive, but yeah, not much to show for it, and that's the way it can go sometimes.
Well, it certainly was an eventful race. David Coulthard followed the whole thing from his BBC commentary box. Laura caught up with him for his insight into the Spanish Grand Prix.
So, David, start by just recapping that Barcelona Grand Prix for us.
Well, it was an unusual one. We expected... Well, the big question mark was whether the Mercedes going to be able to continue the form that they showed in qualifying, or were they going to fall away like we saw in the previous races? And we now know, of course, they just completely fell away from the front of the field. And then it came down to the battle between Ferrari, Red Bull and Lotus, and in the end today Red Bull just weren't able to make the tyres work consistently. They had a problem with the front left especially, that allowed Fernando to run his race basically at his own pace. He had a bit of pressure there from Kimi Raikkonen, but in the end it wasn't enough to see Sebastian up there. It's giving us, as we head into the sixth Grand Prix of the year, an incredible battle for this world championship. Kimi's moved a little bit closer to Sebastian. It's not all bad, as both championships are still being led by Red Bull. You have to say that's, in terms of a story for Formula One, is a perfect Hollywood ending, having Fernando Alonso win the Spanish Grand Prix. So I don't think anyone would begrudge him that.
I think he'll be celebrating tonight.
I think that Fernando Alonso will be definitely celebrating big time. I don't know what a big time Spanish celebration is, but it will be. It will go well into Monday, I'm sure.
And what's your fondest memory of the Spanish Grand Prix?
Well, I made my debut here in Barcelona in '94, obviously in somewhat sad circumstances because it was off the back of the fatalities in Imola, but this did represent my first ever race in Formula 1. I never actually won here, but I had several podiums, and it's a proving ground for all of the Formula 1 teams. We spend most of our time in Spain testing in pre-season, so I think that there's a real affinity. This feels like home from home in many respects. It's a great track, and the crowd has continued to grow year on year as Fernando's become more and more successful.
Can you teach us any Spanish?
Cerveza, hola, buenos dias. I don't know how to say sorry. I should, because I normally have to apologise.
Okay, and can you tell us about the bike ride that you did from Saint-Tropez to Monaco recently?
Yeah, that was for the Prince's Trust. So Prince Albert was with us for part of the ride. He wasn't able able to do the whole ride, but it was 140-odd kilometres. Actually, Jensen Button and all the rest were on the ride as well. And it was a great afternoon. Well, we started in the morning, but there was two or three stops over the course of the ride to allow lots of different standards to all arrive in Monaco together. So it wasn't a race as such, but you know, it was a reasonable ride along. It was horrible conditions. It rained all the way, so I felt like I was back in Scotland. But it was a great feeling getting into Monaco with a whole team of people. And there's anyone who's been to the south of France, and especially Monaco, will know there's lots of tunnels, especially when you get to Monaco. And you know, having 60 odd guys on bikes riding through a tunnel, all whooping and cheering and heading to a celebration of a pint of Guinness. Prince Albert, I found out, likes a little Guinness. I guess Grace Kelly, being originally the family from Ireland, and he has his affinity with Ireland, so that was our celebration. You're a very cheap date after a day of cycling drinking a pint of Guinness.
So as good on two wheels as you are on four?
I'm getting better on two wheels. I'm doing a lot more cycling. So what I realise is I've got to strip, and I'm a skinny person anyway, but I've got to strip even more weight, because it's all about just being as light as possible and, you know, not carrying the weight. But we go out with some of the pros, you know, the current world champion Philippe Gilbert, and there's a few of the other guys. Jonathan Cantwell is with you know, a team down there. Chris Froome is based in Monaco as well. So there's a lot of cycling in the south of France, and it's a pleasure to be able to do an easy day with those professionals.
Final question. We've been running the hashtag job swap on Twitter this weekend, where we've been asking people if they could swap jobs with anyone, who would it be and why? So we want to put that to you.
I would have loved to have been even more successful in Formula 1, so I would, you know, pick Sebastian or Mark or Fernando or any of these guys that have won lots of races. But that's a very good question. It would be nice to imagine a job where you could genuinely help people that are less fortunate in life. And there's so many worthy causes, I would hate to just say one right now. But anything that especially helps children, because, you know, as a father now, you know, I've made it 42 years. Whatever happens now, I can't really complain. I've had a reasonable innings. I would like to have a much longer one, but I've had a reasonable innings. So anything that could really save kids from all of the horrible things that they have to go through, that just doesn't seem right.
Yeah. Okay, lovely. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Well, it's clear from that David should bring out his own Spanish language tutorial. Let's hear that again.
Cerveza, hola, buenos dias. I don't know how to say sorry. I should, because I normally have to apologise.
Yep, that's all you need to get by David. As you know, on the podcast, we like to take you into different departments of the team to learn about the areas that you wouldn't normally hear anything from. Dominic Mitch is our head of marketing. Katie caught up with him to ask him five fast questions.
What's your best Red Bull Racing memory?
Two memories. The first victory of the team in China, and when we won the Constructors' Championship in Brazil for the first time.
If you could swap jobs with anyone in the team, who would it be and why?
It would be probably Christian Horner.
Why would that be?
He's on a good salary. Can I say that?
What do you like most about travelling?
I like all the aspects of travelling, being abroad, seeing different countries, clocking up some air miles.
And what do you like least?
Airport authorities.
And how do you push the boundaries?
I think we push the boundaries within marketing every day in terms of the workload that goes into it, trying to be creative, different, and working everyone extremely hard in my team.
Barcelona Grand Prix, as usual, attracted celebrities and sports personalities from around the world. Laura caught up with windsurfing world champion Bjorn Dunkerbeck to see what he thought of his Formula One experience.
Okay, so I'm joined by Bjorn Dunkerbeck. Bjorn, could you start by telling our listeners a little bit about your relationship with the Red Bull family and how it came about?
I've been windsurfing ever since I was a kid, around 8 years when I started, and I have been involved and sponsored by Red Bull since 1994.
So a very long relationship you've got there.
Yes, and a long way to go still.
Yeah, that's what we like to hear. And we'd imagine that the physical things that you feel are obviously quite different from a Formula One driver, but do you think that the emotions that you feel and the exhilaration, say when you've won a championship, do you think that's comparable to how an F1 driver might feel when he wins a championship?
Of course, winning in any kind of discipline or sports for a champion is the goal, to be standing in the center of the podium.
Yeah.
And it's never easy, because there's only space for one person on top of the podium, and the feeling of satisfaction, I imagine, is very similar, yes.
Okay, and do you have a favourite driver?
Sebastian Vettel, yes, of course, and he's having a little tougher year than a couple of years ago, but I think that's healthy as well for the whole Formula One. I hope he's going to do a good qualifying and a great race tomorrow.
Yeah. And then what's next for you? How are you going to push the boundaries next?
Well, I'm still competing on the World Cup Slalom Tour. I got 6 World Cups this year. Actually, just came from South Korea directly to this race here in Barcelona. This morning I arrived from there. And as I said, the next one is going to be in Costa Brava. And they're ending up in still Germany end of September. And then I had another world record speed breaking attempt in Namibia end of the year, where I managed to beat 50 knots last year for the first time. And a top speed of 98 kilometers an hour in the 2 seconds period.
Wow.
And this year the goal is to obviously beat the 500 meter average record again, and to beat the 100 kilometers an hour in a 2 second GPS top speed.
So you'll be breaking a few boundaries.
Yeah, that's actually my biggest goal for this year.
Yeah.
Of obviously being on the podium in the end of the Slalom World Cup Tour. I was second last year, first in 2011, which was my 41st world title that I have achieved in this 25 plus years of career. Actually, it's my 28th season this year, non-stop.
Well, we wish you lots of luck with that 42nd. We've got one final question, and that's that if you could swap jobs with anyone in the world for a day, who would it be and why?
That's a good one. I think I might have 2 or 3 there. One would be definitely Sebastian Vettel. Another one would be Kelly Slater. And a third one might even be Sebastian Loeb.
Keeping it in the Red Bull family again. Thanks very much for your time.
You're very welcome.
As you've heard, this podcast has had a slight job swap theme. We asked Sebastian Vettel and his race engineer, Rocky, to swap jobs for the day. Rocky had to drive a lap of the Circuit de Catalunya with Sebastian as his engineer on the radio. I have to add, this was only in the simulator. We wouldn't let him out in the RB9 for real. This is what happened.
Right, we've got an envelope. Today is job swap day in the simulator. Seb, you will be engineering Rocky driving the simulator at the Circuit de Catalunya. Your mission is to get Rocky to set a time good enough to get on the back of the grid of last year's Spanish Grand Prix.
Don't press the wrong button.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, eject seat. I think he'll be all right, but obviously he doesn't practice. And I think he has driven the simulator once or twice, but more for fun rather than really to get an idea or to set a certain lap time. So I'm sure he's under enormous pressure now, so let's see if he can deliver. 1, 2, radio check.
Yeah, you're loud and clear.
All right. Are you ready?
Okay. The pedals are all wrong.
Stop complaining, keep pushing. Try to use all the revs, Rocky.
Well, I was thinking, I was going to take it easy in the last sector, because I don't want to show you off.
Yeah, never mind. I always miss the apex there as well. Good. Yeah, that's very good. Looks very good. Now use the rest. Use the rest. You can stop there.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe not in the wall, but anyways. Your time was 1:39.6. The slowest time in qualifying at the 2012 Spanish Grand Prix was 1:31.1. I'm afraid we didn't make it. You well, didn't make it.
I need more laps.
I just blame you. You just blame me, so now it's good for me, I blame you.
The DRS wasn't working, the brakes weren't bled, the pass wasn't working,
yeah.
The pedals were over the shop.
You've got a future in racing, you've got all the excuses lined up already.
What did I learn them from?
Yeah, that's true. Anyways, get back in. More practice.
Okay.
We need to beat that time.
You can see the full video of their job swap on the website, rebelracing.com. So the final word on the podcast goes to Christian Horner. Katie spoke to him straight after the race.
Okay, so what are your feelings after that race, Christian?
It was a bit of a frustrating race, really. Fourth and fifth, as it turned out, was the best we could actually achieve. So, you know, at the end of the year, all the points add up. And, you know, on the days you can't win or be on the podium, you've got to take the very best that you can, and fourth and fifth unfortunately was the best that was available for us today, and some great pit work again in the pit stops, and you know, the boys have worked really hard this weekend.
Is it a surprise for you when you're racing like that and you can't maintain the pace?
Well, it's a different kind of racing because you're trying to protect the tyres all the time, and this track in particular is very hard on the front left tyre, and all the race, all we were talking to the drivers about was look after tyres, look after tyres, look after tyres. So you could hear on the radio that, you know, it doesn't sound like they're working that hard because they're under driving the performance of the car. So it's a different type of racing, and it's not just Red Bull, it's, you know, every team up and down the pit lane. So I think probably today was, you know, a bit too much. I think once you get to four stop races, that gets a bit confusing. It gets confusing for us, let alone the fans.
And fourth and fifth, obviously no podium finish, but still a strong result.
Yeah, it's still, you know, 22 points. So, you know, we're the second highest scoring team this weekend behind Ferrari, and we've extended our lead in the Constructors' Championship, albeit Ferrari are now second. So, yeah, you've got to grab what you can and, you know, be reliable and consistent and so on. And it was a good recovery from Mark after a horrible first lap, really. And, you know, certainly the strategy with him worked very well to get him back up to P5.
Can you learn anything from this race for Monaco, or is that such a different event again that the whole order will be reshuffled?
Monaco's a unique race, so you can always learn. So, you know, every event you're learning. But Monaco's totally different track layout. The surface is much less abrasive. So it'll actually probably be a bit kinder on the tyres. So, but of course, qualifying there is paramount, whereas at the moment, qualifying doesn't really matter. We had, you know, fifth, fourth and ninth finishing the first three places today from the qualifying positions.
Well, that's it for this edition of the podcast. Monaco is where we look to now with the race in less than 2 weeks' time. Make sure you check out the website redbullracing.com for all the latest news, pictures and videos. We leave Barcelona still leading the Constructors' Championship, and with Sebastian Vettel leading the driver's table. We'll be back on the 26th of May with all the glitz and glamour from Monaco. Until then, take care.